All right, I think we are ready to go. Let's get everybody back to their seats. Lots of great commotion. Welcome to everybody. Let me say good morning to those of you who are online. My name is Sean. I'm one of the pastors here on this team. It's great to have you here today. Welcome to Colwood Church. Turn to your neighbor. Give them a high five. Tell them you're glad that they're here today. Come on, high fives. You're good. They're so good to have. A number of years ago, I had the opportunity to be in Mexico, and we happened to be in the city of Playa del Carmen, and we wanted to go over to this little island known as Cozumel. And so to do that, we had to get a ticket to a catamaran ferry. It's a beautiful day. And as we got onto the ferry, we found our seats because in this catamaran ferry, there was this mariachi band. And they were playing music for us. Like, it was awesome to just sit in front of this. And we were on this beautiful ferry ride to get over to this island. And as we started to go, we suddenly started to notice the winds that were ripping through the channel of Cozumel. And all of a sudden, this catamaran ferry started to tip back and forth. And so without trying to spoil your breakfast or your soon-to-be lunch, there was a lot of things that began to happen on that ferry that day. And I remember Lisa sitting in her chair at one point, plugging her ears and shaking back and forth, "Dear Jesus, come back. Dear Jesus, come back." All types of things, because it really felt like this thing was going to go over. The unique thing, though, of this experience for me was the mariachi band. So as the wind started to come and as people were starting to give back to Mother Earth their stuff, this mariachi band briefly stopped. They decided to pull out these buckles and they strapped themselves in. And then they continued to play the whole entire time. While we were losing everything, literally, they kept playing like with smiles on their faces. And it was actually probably really good that they continued to play because of the noises that were happening everywhere around us. We got to Cozumel and we quickly realized we still have to go back that day as well. And the mariachi team was there and they delivered everything beautiful. But thank you, Jesus, for mariachi bands on catamarans that felt like they were about to tip over. Yes? Amen. And Pastor James was creating the graphic series for me. And so this week I went to him and he was showing me one. And then he quickly put this one up onto the screen as well for me. And it caught my attention. And I'm like, "Pastor James, can you please explain to me why in the world would you put a lighthouse with a boat and rocky waters?" And then he actually said, "Isn't that pretty indicative of many of our relationships? Rocky, and we need a guiding point. We need to get to a place of safety." And I thought, that's the one. And so he had done all this work on the other graphic, and I said, "Nope, this is the guy that I actually want." Because how many of us know that that relationships can be rocky and a little bit turbulent at times? And so what we're going to do is we're going to actually spend the month of April around relationships, around the turbulence that may be happening in our lives currently. And our friend, Paul, who wrote the book of Ephesians, he actually brings three relationships to us that we're going to investigate over these next few weeks. Those relationships are marriage, parenting, and work, employee-employer relationships. And so today, the text that we are going to use comes out of Ephesians chapter 5, verses 21 to 33. Let's read that together, and the words will be on the screen for us today. It says this, "And further, submit." Somebody say submit. Submit. "Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. For wives, this means submit to your husbands as to the Lord. And for a husband is the head of his wife, as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the savior of his body, the church. And as the church submits to Christ, so you wives should submit to your husbands in everything. For husbands, this means love your wives just as Christ loved the church, and he gave up his life for her to make her holy and clean, washed by the cleansing of God's word. Now he did this to present her to himself as a glorious church without a spot or wrinkle or any other blemish. Instead, she will be holy and without fault. Now, in the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as they love their own bodies. For a man who loves his wife actually shows love for himself. No one hates his own body, but feeds and cares for it, just as Christ cares for the church, and we are members of his body. And as the scriptures say, a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife, and the two are united into one. This is a great mystery, but it is an illustration of the way Christ and his church are one. So again, I say, each man must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Teach us today is what I ask. And I pray this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. This morning, I'm going to speak to us from the subject hypostaso. All right, turn to your neighbor and say hypostaso. That's a great word. It's fun to say. Hypostaso. Great to do. Now, before we get into the relationship topic that is being presented to us by Paul, we have to build the foundation first. The writer, Paul, gives us one basic exhortation in order to engage these relationships. In fact, it's found in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. It says, do not be drunk with wine, but instead be filled with the Spirit. Somebody say filled. The one basic exhortation to approach these relationships is that we will come from a life being filled with the Spirit. And without being filled with the Spirit, it will be impossible to actually go through your turbulent situations called relationships. Now, before we get into this often misunderstood, controversial, and weaponized pieces of scripture around the subject of wives and husbands, especially around those topics of submission and the man being the head of the wife, let's actually see what Paul is actually saying to us today. And also, may I say this now before we go any further? I enter this topic quite humbly. I recognize that I don't know it all when it comes to marriage, to which my wife is already nodding her head in agreement, right? And I understand that, nor can I cover it all. I understand that for those of us who are in the marriage relationship today, some of you are in a really good spot, some of you are not in a good spot. This covers a lot. And so with the time that we have and the information that is in front of us, let me, again, humbly approach our time together when we talk about this. In verse 22, this is the verse that dictates all of the relationships that we will begin to tackle. And it said to us, and further, submit to one another out of reverence for Jesus Christ. Submit one to another. What we're really good at is just skipping over to verse 22, and let's just talk to those wives about this submission thing for a second. Let's start there. But this is where it starts. It says that all of us are to submit one to another. Somebody say submit. Now, the word submit here that we see in its original languages means being subject to. In fact, the words that we see, the noun is hypostaso, and then the verb is hypostaso. The hypo, the hupo, what it means is under. And the staso is stand, which literally means that this word is to come and stand under. So when it says that we are to be subject one to another, it means we come and stand underneath the other person. Now today, and Paul is brilliant in his delivery of what he's doing with this word, because the Roman culture that was around were full of guards, it was militant, he knew. Because this word hypostaso is actually a military term. It is a military word that describes submission and obedience of the soldiers in an army to those who had superior rank. Paul knew full well what he was doing when he decides to tell us, when it comes to our relationships, though, you're going to hypostaso one another. Except he is saying it in a way that you are not to do it when it comes to rank and position. What he is inviting us to in the strategic approach of using this word is that this now refers to you being on the same team as somebody else. It has nothing to do with rank anymore. It is being a team player. How do I know this? It's because what Jesus has done to change the game. In fact, our world today and the old humanity, they would say this over you. You are supposed to lord it over somebody else. You are to let people know that you are over them, that you are in charge, that you are in control over. But Jesus doesn't take that approach ever. Jesus says that you are to come under, not over, but under. What we begin to see with this simple verse is that this is not just for the wives. It is not just for the kids that we're going to talk about next week, and it is not just for the slaves or the employees that we'll talk about in 2 weeks' time. What Paul is saying to you and I today is that this is for everybody being subject to hypostasis, one to another. And why do we do it? We do it because of the reverence of Jesus Christ and that he calls us to stand underneath people to encourage and to build them up. So that's kind of where we're going to start today. In fact, this verse should actually read this way, according to the original languages. Wives, stand under your husbands, and husbands, stand under your wives, as to reverence for the Lord. So that's kind of what we're building here. Now, I recognize that not everybody in this room today is married. Some of you are single, ready to mingle, maybe. Let me speak to the singles for a second. This is important. I understand that some of you want to be married. I know that some of you have a call to be single for the rest of your life. Some of you have lost a spouse. Some of you have separated or divorced. You're single today. But because I'm about to talk about marriage, I don't want you to check me out. It doesn't matter your age. I actually think that there's some wisdom here for you that if you pay attention to it, it's going to help your life as well. And there are three ways in which I think that that actually happens for us today. And here are the three things that I see. That the verse that we just read of being subject one to another out of reverence for Christ, that verse relates to every single one of your relationships that you have. Hypostasis. How can you come under somebody else to make sure that they are benefited in their lives? Number one. Number two, that when we live in hypostasis, it actually reveals our relationship to Jesus Christ and his church. That's an important thing. But it also shows that people can live in a way, hypostasis, even when this world and culture says, do it differently and just take care of you. You do you and don't worry about anything else. So speaking of culture, we have to understand the context. Look, why would Paul come in and he give us a verse like this, being subject one to another out of reverence for Christ? Because he understood what was happening in the first century. And commentator Daryl Johnson actually does some really brilliant work about helping us understand the context. Why would Paul want to say these things to that first century church? And he uses language of household codes. He said that household codes were essential for the establishment and the furtherment of the society back in the day. Household codes would be the husband-wife relationship. It would be the parent-child relationship. And then it would be, in their language, the master and the slave relationship, which we would use today as the employee and the employer. These household codes were essential for their society. And in most cases, the husband, the father, and the master were actually the same person in many of the opportunities. Where we recognize in our culture, commercial spaces, most jobs were actually executed out of their own homes back in the day in that Jewish culture. But oftentimes it was the one guy that was there. But what we have to understand about the first century culture is if you were a wife, let me just say this to you. You were nobody. Nobody. The culture had no regard for the woman, actually. When it came to the kids, you were nobody. You were just a commodity. I've given you birth to make sure you do all the chores that I don't want to do in my house, type of a thing. If you were a slave, nothing. And what Paul begins to tell us is that there was a cultural moment here that was not helpful to those three people groups. They were commodities. They were less than. There was no dignity whatsoever given to them. In fact, William Barclay, who is a commentator as well, said a Jewish man would often pray every day, thanking God that he was not a Gentile, a slave, or a woman. This was common. And in fact, philosopher Aristotle said this about these household codes, that if those household relationships stayed in order and they worked, the larger political realm would benefit from it too. How many of you would notice instantly that the first century had a problem? When you look at the wives and you would say that they are nothing, that there is no dignity, value, or worth to a woman, how many of you would say that that's an issue? I would say that. And so, but what I want to see, like, that society was messed up in so many ways, but what I don't want us to do is have I just don't want to pick on the first century. Let's speed the process up just a little bit. Let's bring it to the 21st century where we live. Can we talk about Canada for a moment? Here are some actual statistics that come from Stats Canada in respect to the things that we just talked about in the first century, but to the thing and the subject that we're about to talk about today. In Canada right now, 44.3% people are married. 12.6 people are in common law relationships. 43.1% of our nation is not married at all today. The percentage of families with married parents has fallen 83% in the early 1980s to 64% 3 years ago. The median age for marriage is now 30.7 years of age. Over 20% of Canadians consider marriage to be outdated. 48.2% of men and 39.1% of women do not believe in the institution of marriage at all anymore. And in 2021, there were 95,435 same-sex couples. In 2022, 2.78 million people have obtained a legal divorce and are not remarried. When I looked at all of these statistics, this is the thought that came across my head. The institution of marriage has shifted in our own nation. So moments ago, we all said, oh yeah, first century, they got some issues. How many of you would now admit our 21st century, we also have some issues, especially when it comes to this thing called marriage? So we have to get back to truth. We have to get back to hypostasis. We have to get back to being under, standing under, so that in the relationship we're about to engage in, it matters. What Paul communicates is a radical and a revolutionary text, and it cut against that society, much like it would cut against the society that we live in today. Being filled with the Spirit of God goes to the root of relationship dynamics and turns things upside down, so that we could be right side up. And so today we're going to take a look at truth. We're going to take a look at hypostasis. And what does it mean for husbands and wives to stand under one another? So this is what I see in the texts that are in front of us today. Number one, we're going to talk about the mandate of husbands and wives. What does it mean to be a husband? What does it mean to be a wife? And if you are neither of those two things, again, pay attention still. There are some things that I hope that you will want to become as you move towards that opportunity if it comes in your life. In Genesis chapter 2, verses 21, it says, "So the Lord caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. And while the man slept, the Lord God took out one of the man's ribs and closed up the opening." I like ribs. Somebody sent me this cute little picture a couple weeks ago, and it's this one right here about ribs. Note to self, men, don't do it. Don't say that to your wife. You may be in trouble. But listen to this. It says that the Lord God made a woman from the rib, and he brought her to the man. "At last," the man exclaimed, "I finally have my help." No, he didn't even say that. He goes, "At last, this one is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh, and she shall be called woe man because she was taken from man." This explains why a man leaves his father and his mother and is joined to his wife, and the two are now united into one. And now the man and his wife were both naked, and they felt no shame. What I see in this text is something I just want to unpackage for a few moments, but it comes under a quote given by Pastor Levi Lusco. He says this, "Scripture's teaching on marriage is that you and your spouse are supposed to complement each other, not complete each other or compete with each other." Some of us here in this space today, we think that we are only 50% of a person until we get married, and then we can finally be 100%. That's nonsense, and it's not the scripture. You are 100% complete right now if you have relationship with Jesus Christ. a spouse is not going to bring the other X amount of percent to make you complete. We cannot be lost in that. This is what we know, is that God himself instituted marriage. God himself is for marriage, and he wants us to thrive in healthy relationships today. He created it, and guess what? He stands by it today. When I look at this text out of Genesis chapter 2, I see four things that I want us to understand about what it means to be in a marriage relationship. Number one, it's between a man and a woman. That's it. That's what our scriptures indicate to us. We sang a song a couple of moments ago, I'll take you at your word. If you said it, I'll believe it. And this particular point that I just made is being objected in many ways in our culture today. But the word of God does say that a marriage relationship is between a man and a woman. The second thing that I see in this text out of Genesis 2 is that we are to be united. I used to play this game growing up as a kid, and it was called Battleship. Have you ever played this game before? This great little board, and you kind of call out the numbers and the letter or whatever it is, and the idea is to sink the other people's boats on their screen, and they don't know what it is. You sank my battleship. And I often think that in the institution of marriage today, we actually think marriage is a lot like battleship. But let me encourage you today, you are not trying to sink your spouse in anything today. In fact, the ship that you should be on when it comes to being united in a marriage relationship is the love boat. Now that's a good ship that you probably want to be on. It's not a battleship. You are not here. You are here to be united, it says. I need to remind us today that you are on the same team as your spouse. And that same team means that you can establish that united moments that are going to allow your relationship to flourish and to thrive. That united also means that you could be intimate with your partner as well. And who doesn't want to talk about sex these days? Why don't we do it in the church? Sex is great in the confines of marriage. God made it. Married people, he wants you to use it with your spouse because of the intimacy that happens within those moments. Did you know that in Jewish weddings, a part of the ceremony is that the bride would actually walk around her husband seven times? And there was a symbolism to that. The seven times had everything to do with the number seven being perfection and hoping that our lives would, you know, go towards that means. But then there is also another significant moment when it came to seven and walking around the husband. But you may recall a story called the Walls of Jericho. And truthfully, I don't know how I feel about that. If Lisa walked around me seven times, like, what is she saying? Is she wanting me to collapse and crumble? Like, I don't know. Don't walk around me seven times. But what I want us to see with that is that there was a united front that happened with the couple in a ceremony. And this is the objective for us when it comes to our marriage relationships. Christ calls us to unity, not division, same team, not battleship mode. And the third thing I see out of that Genesis text is that you're called to be vulnerable. It says that they were naked and they felt no shame whatsoever. And again, this idea of in our marriages, we have built so many high walls and we keep our spouse away, but that is not the intention of what God has for us today. Let your walls come down. You are meant to have vulnerability and transparency with our spouses. Let's get back to that under the subject of hypostasis, standing under in vulnerability. And then the last thing that I see is that our marriage relationships, we're called to be an example. An example. And I understand today that you can be an example right now, but you could be a good example or you could be a not good example. And what this world today needs is some good examples. And I'm going to format this in a way to ask you a question. But if unsaved people saw the way that you treat your wife, or they saw the way you treated your husband day in and day out, would they be more or less likely to submit to Christ? We have to be an example. So the mandate is clear, but then Paul, he really jumps into the wives. Let's talk about the wives for a second. We love wives. This is important for us, but the text actually would read, being subject one to another as wives are to their husbands. It's not like, hey, double whammy, wives, you have to be submissive more than the husband. The flow of the text would literally read, being subject one to another out of fear for Christ as wives to husbands, which implicates this idea that the wives were actually doing hypostaso well. They were understanding that it was a respectful moment in their marriage relationship. But the next phrase that Paul gives to us is everything. That you would subject, you would be submissive to your husbands. And then it says, as Christ, as to the Lord. And this suddenly becomes for all of you wives, ladies, it becomes about your relationship to Jesus. Not the husband, but to Jesus. What Paul is indicating is that this relationship right here will equate itself here. That when this is off, look at this. Because as to the Lord, I should do this. And so I would hope that wives in this place today, you would look at your relationship to your husband, but through the lens of how's my relationship with Jesus Christ doing these days? And that could be a great indicator and a tell for you. And then Paul suddenly just flips the script over to these husbands again. And he uses, again, one of those controversial sections of scripture that people have used in many negative ways. But he says, basically, the husband is the head of the wife as Christ is the head of the church. And this is important. We can't ignore it. The scriptures say it. What does it mean, though? As Christ is the head of the church. You know what Christ did for the church? He brought order back to his church, the recapitulation. Jesus Christ spoke life over his church, his bride, to let them know who they were. Husbands, that's the same type of stuff that is being spoken about here for you. If you're the head of your home, it means that is there order under your home? Are you bringing godliness back in, and are you bringing life and speaking it over your wife? That's what we're talking about here today. Jonathan Lehman, another pastor, author, he talks about this headship, because the word that people get caught on is authority. He's got no authority over me, or I'm not gonna. This is language that is happening in our culture today. Yet here we see that the husband's authority is a thing. This is what he says, that the husband's authority is an authority of counsel. It's not an authority of command. In both kinds of the authority, there is a right to make commands, and the person under it is called to actually submit. But the difference of the authority of counsel and the authority of command is no enforcement mechanism. Let me explain. Parents in the room today, when it comes to the authority of command, if your child does not listen, the Bible kind of talks about the rod, talks about discipline. There literally is an enforcement mechanism. But husbands, when it comes to the word of God and your wife chooses not to listen to something you say, guess what you could do? Absolutely nothing, because there is no enforcement mechanism. And I love this differentiator. It is an authority of counsel, not an authority of command. This is not a fear-driven authority. The goal with your wives, husbands, is to win her to oneness, to win her to unity. And so don't take the headship verse and misapply it in your relationships. Then, of course, he wants to talk to us husbands. Many of men have actually taken this text and they've looked at it as a soundbite. The wife, the kids, the slaves, they were being disobedient. So let's put some authority down. Let's show them who is boss. Now, that could have been true. There could have been moments like that that were happening in the culture, just like it's probably happening in our culture today. But what if the wife, the kids, and the slaves were actually doing hypostaso well? What if they were actually doing the being subject to, standing under? And I actually think the more I read this text over and over, you know, I don't know what I think Paul is doing. I think Paul is telling us husbands to catch up a little bit. He got quiet with the guys in the room suddenly today. As a husband, I will admit to you right now, this is where I want to leave the stage. I do not want to pay attention to what Paul has to say to me about what I am supposed to do as a husband. I should just go right now. You guys could go have lunch and we're going to be good. I don't like it. It's uncomfortable with what Paul begins to explain to us. This is what he says to us husbands. I want you to love your wife like Christ loved the church. What did Jesus Christ do for his church? He died. I'm not asking you to go die today, literally, but spiritually. Are you willing to die for your wife? Whatever she needs, to make sure that you stand under her as Christ loved the church. It's that same relationship, and he did it with the wives. This relationship with Jesus will manifest itself here. If you are not dying here, you're not dying here. And there is a gap between our relationship with Christ and how we're supposed to love our wives. That's what it would say. He also encourages in verse 26, when's the last time, husbands, that you cleaned your wife with the word of God? That you washed and you spoke words that would bring encouragement, edification, and life to her? When's the last time you've done that, men? Verse 27, with the Peter text in mind as well, it says that he understands her. He doesn't make excuses for her. And guess what, guys? Your wife is not there to fix her. The fixing is up to Jesus and to Jesus alone. You are there to understand her, not to try to make excuses for her. This is what Paul is getting at. He also goes and he talks to us guys, hey, do you even love yourself? Because if you don't, it's going to show itself in the relationship you have with your wife. But if you do love yourself and take care of yourself, it will and it should direct it to her. In verse 31, he says, do you fight for unity? Not division, unity. So we've got a mandate. We've got some direction for wives. We've got some direction for husbands. So now what? What do I do with this situation of the relationship of marriage? Remember today that the marriage relationship is a metaphor for Jesus Christ and his church. This is the picture. I find this crazy. If I'm gonna have a sit-down coffee with Jesus, why in the world would you pick a marriage relationship? Have you seen them? They're crazy. All of them at some point. Yet this is the metaphor and the image that he wants to use. As Christ loves his church, so a husband to his wife. It's the picture he gives. Let me ask you a question, married people. Is it always easy in marriage? Be very careful if your spouse is sitting beside you right now. It's not, is it? It's not easy. But there is a mandate that is given to us by Paul and the rest of Scripture about how we should live and follow in the relationship called marriage. I said to start today that some of you in this space today, there's no hope in your marriage right now. It's that broken. It's that disconnected. You want to throw the towel in. Let me correct you today by saying this. Jesus is not done with you. Remember, he's asked you to be united. He's asked you to stand and to stand under. How can we be subject one to another when we just throw towels all the time? Because it's very easy to do. Jesus is asking us to stand. And I know that there's another discussion around exit strategies and marriages that have legitimacy to them. But today, if there is hopelessness in your marriage relationship, let me encourage you today, with Christ there is hope. And he is not done with your relationship at all. Often when I have conversations with people and their marriages, it comes on this fine line of what I would call reactive and proactive. I oftentimes come into people's relationships reactively. It's blown up, Sean. This has happened. Versus the proactivity, because there's a trail that leads up to that moment. And what I'm contending for today with Paul is that we have to look at our marriage relationships and we have to do some investment here. We have to get proactive to the things that he has for us. So let me give you a couple of things that I think can proactively help our marriage relationships. And if you're moving towards a marriage relationship, these are things that you could do. Number one, counseling. I can't tell you how many times Lisa and I have done counseling together. And I'm going to tell you one thing today. She needed it. But you want to know what I quickly learned with that statement? Is that I needed it way more than what she needed. what I thought that I could put on her, it was glaring off of me. Like, counseling is one of those things where you could invest into the relationship. And it is okay. Many people think, well, I just got to go to counseling when it's broken and fallen down. No, you don't. Go to counseling today. Make the appointment today. Go talk to somebody today, because you're investing into the relationship. One of the things that Lisa and I do on our Friday mornings is we use a resource called Right Now Media. And Right Now Media is a gift from our church to you. You can go to our webpage right now, and it gives you a ton of resources for anything in your life. In particular, for the conversation we're at today is marriage relationships. We work on so many different marriage things because she knows I need it. And so we use Right Now Media. Use it. Go sign up. Find something. Speak life into your marriage by the things that you do there. Some of you need to find a mentor. If something is broken and fallen apart and it just doesn't make a whole lot of sense anymore, find a mentor. Spouses, please know this. It's okay to date your spouse still, right? Go date him or her. It's important for your life. And the last thing that I'm going to say to you is that you need to make sure you're praying with your spouse. Not praying for her or him, praying with them. There is an intimacy that develops spiritually, and then it turns physically too, when we pray with our spouse. And then, as you heard, next Saturday, there is a one-day marriage workshop. And I'm here to tell you that some of you need to be there. Whether it is good or poor right now, you need to be there. Or if you're curious about marriage, come hang out with us too. Let's learn together, because it's an investment that is valuable for us to move forward. I want you further to submit, to hypostaso, to stand under one another, out of reverence for Christ. And he starts us with marriage. Will you stand with me today? I will admit to you, I cannot get the mariachi band out of my mind because of what they did. In turbulent and unpredictable water, they strapped in. And what Paul, under the authority of Jesus Christ, says to you and I about our marriage relationships: strap in, hypostaso, stand under. Let's get our marriages back to a space where this world will know, when Jesus Christ talks about himself and his church as a groom and a bride, he's using our marriages as an example to minister to a world that is deeply broken right now. And in our own nation of Canada, the institution of marriage has lost a lot of its luster. May we hypostaso together today. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for, again, your word, and especially this subject that we're talking about of marriage today. Help us in our marriages, I pray, God. You see those of us who are in relationships that are good right now. Awesome. Help us to be an encouragement to somebody else. For those of us that are, it's not looking good these days, help us to see that there is hope, that there are things that you want to do with and through us. And I pray for all of us as a church that we would hypostaso well, that we would be subject one to another out of our relationship to Jesus Christ, so that the world could see who you are and what you've done. So Jesus, I thank you today that as we walk into this week, teach us, help us to be mindful of hypostaso and be subject one to another. And I will thank you for that. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Now today you may be in the space, and perhaps you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, and we'd like to invite you to that as well. I know I'm talking about marriage, and now I'm going to talk to you about life with Christ, but listen, if you want to know more about this Jesus that we love, and he really is our director and our guide, text the word life to 250-478-7113. Give you a great opportunity to investigate a little bit more with Jesus. As we mentioned a little bit earlier today, we are moving towards our 50th birthday party, which means if you would like to purchase a trail of a ticket today, Pastor Tyson is sitting in the Welcome Center right now. You can purchase your ticket to the 50 for 50 dessert night. I'm telling you, this dessert night is going to be epic. We're going to look at our history. We've got former leadership coming in. We've got professional desserts coming in. You are going to leave full and happy off of that night. And tell people who maybe have been a part of this church for a long time that they got to get signed up for that night. It'll be great. If you're new, welcome to Colwood Church. It is great to have you here today. We're excited that you took some time to be with us. Make sure you say hi to Pastor James at the Welcome Center as well. He'd love to welcome you today. Church, hypostasis. Let's do it. Have a great week. We love you, and we'll see you next week.